Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 6, Episode 74, and the Steelers are getting ready to take on the Denver Broncos in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. That'll take place Sunday at 4:40 Eastern time as the Steelers travel to Denver, and they'll do that tomorrow. And Dave, news out just about an hour ago this morning that they will do that without Antonio Brown.
Yes, indeed. I thought he would make it back. So did you, probably.
Yep,
so
I did.
Melanie Friedlander. You know.
So did his father.
So did his father. You know.
And, you know what? To be honest with you, so did Antonio Brown. Let's be clear about it. He was telling people that he felt pretty good. He thought he'd be back. Even immediately after the game, his teammates said, you know, he seemed pretty good. And this is one of the things where, and I've said this many times, the last person to get your injury information from is the player. Don't ever let them tell you that they're going to be back, whether it's Will Johnson, Antonio Brown. I mean, Ben has probably been as good about it as anybody because he's very noncommittal. But it's unfortunate for Antonio. It's unfortunate for the Steelers. It's an opportunity for Sammy Coates and the other receivers. And it's going to be a Herculean task for the Steelers in Denver on Sunday.
I think it's appropriate to start kind of this podcast off with a great quote from Bluto from the 1978 film Animal House. Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no. You post that on Twitter, David, and you find out real quick how old people are and their level of pop culture knowledge.
And a little historical awareness, too.
Yeah. But people will call you out real quick thinking they're breaking news to you that it was the Japanese who actually bombed Pearl Harbor. But what a great quote. I think it's appropriate to kind of open up with that. Look, we're not going to sugarcoat it in this podcast. This is a heck of a blow for the Steelers. Not only will they be without Antonio Brown, if Ben Roethlisberger plays, you would have to speculate, and make no mistake, that's what we do a lot of here on this podcast and on Steelers Depot and on David's radio show. You're not going to have Roethlisberger at 100% if he plays because of his shoulder injury. You're going up against a Denver Broncos defense that's not only good against the run, they got a solid pass defense. Aqib Talib on one side, Chris Harris Jr. on the other side at corner. And this time around, they're going to have a couple of safeties back that they didn't have in that last meeting between these two teams. Yes, it looks kind of bleak at this point, but you know our job, I think, David, is kind of to lay it all out and what the Steelers might, you know, what the Steelers need to do to win this game.
I'm pretty sure Mike Tomlin's not grabbing for a box of Kleenex, nor is Todd Haley, nor any of the other guys. Would they like to have Antonio Brown on the field? You damn right they would, and it's a big loss. Let's not sugarcoat it. But one of the things I give Mike Tomlin credit for is he's got a job to do, and he is focused on that. And I'm sure he got the news this morning, and they have prepared how they have prepared all week. We got, you know, report, you know, early Wednesday when they were practicing. Sammy Coates is out there. He's getting the reps. He's been getting the reps all year. He's been doing the work that he needs to do. But let's be honest about it. None of us have any sense of what level Sammy Coates is going to be able to contribute in this game. We've seen him, you know, I think he's dressed for about three games. I think he has one catch on the season. I think that was in the San Diego game. When the Steelers were short a little bit with Martavis Bryant down early in the season. So it's not the first time he'll have ever had a helmet and stood on an NFL sideline, but the reality is he hasn't played the second half of the season. He is a physically gifted guy, but, you know, how much time has he gotten with Ben? He certainly has gotten some time, you assume, with Landry if he ends up playing, but how much time has he had with Ben? Probably not a lot. He's going to be on his P's and Q's and be running the exact depth that he needs to run and know exactly the routes that he's supposed to get? We'll find out, because there's no doubt that he's going to get some time in this game.
Yeah, we don't know the amount of playing time. He's played 34 offensive snaps all season, and if memory serves me, quite a few of those came early on when Martavis Bryant was serving his four-game suspension and really missed five games due to that minor knee injury against the San Diego Chargers in that Monday night game. Look, I think you're going to see a lot of Darius Heyward-Bey, obviously Martavis Bryant and Marcus Wheaton. You know, how much are you going to see Sammy Coates in this game? I wouldn't think much, right, barring another injury ahead of him on a depth chart.
I'll give him 10 to 15 plays.
I will take under 10.
I'll give you 10 to 15 offensive plays, not special teams. Offensive, 10 to 15 snaps. Coming some of those other things, maybe running some verticals. I think that's where I'd be.
Yeah. And look, here's the thing. We don't have a lot of film on them, and neither do the Denver Broncos, right? So, at least you have that element going for you for what it's worth. But, Darius Heyward-Bey has spent a lot of time in this offense this year. It'll be interesting. Todd Haley talked on Wednesday in his interview with Steelers Nation Radio and Bob Labriola about, should it come to having to replace Antonio Brown. They're going to try to tailor, the passing game to the individual skills of each player, because quite honestly, there's, nobody on the team that can probably do the things, you can't do all the things that Antonio Brown does. So it'll be interesting to see who gets the slot time. Obviously, Darius Heyward-Bey is probably your best blocking wide receiver. So when it comes to the running game, you're probably going to want him out there more times than not. Martavis Bryant is obviously more of a deep threat that can take the top off of coverages. That's his specialty. We have, however, seen, and in the game against the Denver Broncos last time around, Bryant had a career high in catches. What do you have? Something like 10 in that game. And they obviously weren't all, long throws down the field. And when you're talking about Marcus Wheaton, you're talking about a guy that can probably line up anywhere on the field. We've seen him put together an epic game earlier this season against the Seattle Seahawks. And keep in mind, and hopefully Ben will be able to throw the football down the field with some velocity and accuracy in this game. One would think that they're not going to throw him out there if he can't throw the football more than 10 yards down the field. You still got to try to do what you can do. I would expect a more, regardless, even if Ben was healthy, David, I would expect a more compact passing game similar to what we've kind of been calling for and seeing over the course of the last three or four games.
Yeah, this is going to be a challenge. I mean, no two ways about it. Look, we don't know where Ben is, and we'll hopefully get a better sense of that today. He's going to throw for the first time today, and we'll see. But I still think Ben's going to give it a go on Sunday. If he can't play. And then the question is, are both teams going to end up dressing three quarterbacks? Because Brock Osweiler hasn't been really talked about in Pittsburgh much. Brock Osweiler hasn't practiced yet this week. And it's not like, Manning going into this game 100% healthy. It's just he's never going to be 100% healthy again. Ben's obviously hurt. Andrew Jones is the healthiest of the group. And you're going to have to dress Mike Vick. And they're going to have to dress their seventh-round pick, a kid who's a rookie from Northwestern, to protect themselves. Because I don't think either team can afford to be in a position where they don't have a third-string quarterback. Because, look, Ben's vulnerable here for sure. And Peyton's vulnerable with Brock Osweiler. We're not even sure he's going to dress 100% sure. So, to me, Dave, let's start with the Steelers. If knowing what you know right now, do you dress Mike Vick?
No, I do not.
Oh, okay. So you're just banking on the fact that Ben can do something, and if not, Landry's your guy.
My view is if Ben's healthy enough to play in this game, you roll with two. I've been wrong in this in the past when it comes to dressing people, but I mean, yeah, I can understand the argument as to why you would dress Michael Vick because, you know, Ben obviously, well, look at me, every game a quarterback is one hit away from being knocked out of the game. So, you know, I think it will be a true indication of where they think Ben is, though, right? You know, because I don't know. I mean, the question you asked me is, do I think they'll dress Vic? My guess would be no, but I also thought Antonio Brown would play in this game.
Yeah, I'm gonna lean toward yes, even though it's gonna leave him a man short somewhere else.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, let's kind of roll through the injuries and the bodies that we know are going to be down anyway. We know Antonio Brown's going to be down.
Let's say D'Angelo Williams is out.
Let's say D'Angelo Williams is out as well. That's two. We know Stingley, the tackle, is going to be down. That's three. We know LJ Four, Dorn Grant. That's four. LJ Fort, that's five. So we already got five knocked out right there. Who else is – oh, LT Walton, that's six.
And then so it's a already... question – okay, so do you address Chickalo or do you address Vic? Or do you – you know, I think that's kind of what it almost comes down to.
Right. I mean, and – you know, after going through these numbers, now, I mean, would you like to have Chickalo out there with special teams? Yeah, probably. But is it necessary with four outside linebackers already on the roster? And really, he's only dressing from a special teams standpoint. You know, look, and then we got Will Johnson with the hamstring as well, too, right? There's a chance he might not be ready. So he would be, you know, either Will Johnson. If you don't have Will Johnson, I would think you would probably want to have Chickalo out there from a special team standpoint. You know, because
oh, well,
I mean,
we didn't mention Will Johnson. I don't think he's going to play, and we don't know if Vince Williams is going to play.
Right, and both those guys are dealing with hamstring injuries. So
yeah, so if those guys, if one of those guys are down, it's an easy decision, right?
Then by default you're dressing Vic.
Unless you want to dress LJ Ford as a you know, you want another special teams guy. He's been a good special teams player at times. So yeah, if both those guys are down, there's room for everybody.
Right. Well. Yeah. And look, I mean, I think you're going to choose either Chickalo or Fort. You know, probably if Will Johnson's out. So, I mean, let's circle back to the original question now. Now that we have, and we probably should have reversed engineered this to start with.
Right. So, he's going to dress in this game, probably.
I think there is now a good chance after going through those numbers. Yes.
Yeah. And if I'm the Broncos, I'm probably dressing three for sure with Osweiler's status and knowing how fragile Peyton is. So it's going to be interesting to see. They got asked that question yesterday, and it's interesting that, you know, teams do things differently. Gary Kubiak answers questions from the media kind of on a daily basis, and he said, you know, we'll see where we are on Friday. We hope Osweiler practices. So that'll be something to watch here. Dave, let's circle back just to one other thing about Antonio Brown, and we talked about this last year with Le'Veon Bell. I don't have an answer for you. I don't have an answer for you today. I know it was talked about. Tunch and Wolf talked about it. I know I've been asked on Twitter 50 times already, as I'm sure you have as well. Why would the Steelers rule Antonio Brown out today as opposed to tomorrow or some point later? And I don't have a good answer. The only thing I know is you're going to know the answer when the Steelers get on the airplane. So tomorrow at whatever time, let's call it 1 o'clock, when they're at the airport and Antonio Brown doesn't get on a plane, everybody in the world is going to know the answer. Why did they tell you today at 10? Don't know, Dave. You got a good answer for me?
All I can say is it probably has to do with something with the protocol time frame and having to maybe do some sort of activity prior. You know, and even though Melanie was wrong with her prediction today, and I apologize for not getting that up a few hours earlier. Unfortunately, that thing posted 10 minutes before the news about Antonio Brown getting ruled out. But she's got a lot of good information about the protocol and all like that. So my guess is that a player has to do some sort of on-field activity I guess as far as the protocol goes would be my guess.
Yeah. So
and that's only a guess.
Right. And so look, if he needs after he has his first limited exertion, if he needs 24 hours to have full exertion to pass, they don't want to have him he's not going to get on the plane if he hadn't done that, then in the time frame suggests that there's not enough time. That would be it. Yeah. Look, we were all shocked that Mike ruled Le'Veon Bell out, didn't take it down up to a game time decision last year. Same kind of questions. What about gamesmanship? They're not doing anything illegal. As I said, look, the Steelers are going to do this the right way. I never had any doubts about that. And Dave and I both thought Antonio Brown would play. He's not going to play. All right. So we've kind of gone through the rest of it. It's somewhat important to find out what the latest is with Will Johnson and Vince Williams and Robert Golden. And if you were going to ask me at this point, I'd say Golden's the most likely. I would say the other two are unlikely. As I've said 100 times, if you have a real hamstring pull strain, whatever you want to call it, it's almost impossible to have that injury heal in a week. And then you're going to put it under high stress in a playoff game where you're engaged with people. I'll be, even though they've been limited this week, I will be really surprised if Johnson goes. Vince, we didn't even hear about the injury from Mike Tomlin, so maybe his is less severe. Golden with his shoulder, shoot it up, wrap it up. I'm guessing he goes.
Yeah, and as we just laid out, if Johnson's number seven, then that makes it a slam dunk. Then I think it's easy to pull out the other six inactives there.
All right, so where do we go from here?
Look at it this way too. As handicapped as the Steelers are, and they are going against the great Peyton Manning. Let's be honest here. Peyton Manning has not been great this year. Peyton Manning has dealt with plantar. What's the second word? Plantar fasciitis. Is that how you say it?
Plantar fascia, or yeah, there are two ways to say it, I guess.
Okay, a foot injury. How's that? That kept him out several games there. People have probably heard the stat that's been floating around for a week now. But Peyton Manning is 0-5 in playoff games in which the kickoff temperature is 40 or below. If you look at the stats associated with those games, Manning has completed 56.5% of his passes in those five playoff losses. He has five TDs, nine interceptions, a quarterback rating of 61.4. The most points his offense has scored in those five games is 35, and that was that loss a couple of years ago in Baltimore when the temperature, I believe, kickoff was around 13 degrees. The other four losses that Manning had, his offense did not score more than 14 points. Go back through and look at Manning's play earlier this year. It was not great. I mean, it was pretty pitiful, especially those first four or five games that he played in. On throws farther than 15 yards down the field this season, Manning has completed just 35.1% of 76 total attempts for four touchdowns and five interceptions. Pray for cold, people. pray for it to get even colder than what I think it's calling for right now, which is probably around a high of around 40 or 39 right now. I think that's a little bit of an equalizer. To what degree, I do not know. Manning is still a very, very smart quarterback. He's like a coach on the field, if you will. It's not like the Steelers are going to confuse him all that much as well either. So you got two great receivers out there in Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. My biggest fear, David, right now, I mean, if those two receivers aren't enough, and I think Troy Rank hit it on the podcast when I asked him, one guy that really nobody's talking about that could be a huge factor in this game, I think it's tight end Owen Daniels.
No doubt. Look, the tight end situation, we've touched on it a lot, and Mike made a point of touching on it in his press conference on Tuesday, talking about Owen Daniels, highlighting him and what they're capable of doing. You know, Dave, this game's getting simpler by the minute in terms of what the defensive coordinators are going to do. And obviously, for both guys, it's put eight, nine guys in the box, just see what the other – see what the quarterback can do early in the game. Dare him to beat you deep. Sell out to stop the run. Look, we know Denver can play press coverage, and they're probably more than willing to do it now with AB out, and that's going to cause some problems. And for the Steelers, I'd like to see them at least show it once in a while with Peyton. Bring those blitzes up the middle. Get, you know, every quarterback we talk about it, get pressure in the interior. He's not mobile. He's not going to be evasive in the pocket. You know where he's going to be. He can move his feet in the pocket, but that's about it. He's not going to be scrambling. He'll throw the ball into the ground to avoid the sacks. So I'll just go back to that third down play where Robert Golden on the second drive had a pass breakup on a pass to Tyler Eifert. That's how I expect the Steelers to play defense. Know the down and distance, know where the sticks are. And if Peyton beats you deep once early, okay, so be it. You got burned once. But I would play very aggressively, uncharacteristically aggressively, if I'm the Steelers, and I'd be, you know, pretty much doing the same thing to see what Ben can do on the other side if I'm Wade Phillips.
You know, what are you going to do up near the line, you know, as far as blitzes and go like that? I don't think you want to be too aggressive with Manning because he does. I mean, let's face it, he gets the football out, right?
Yeah, you want to be, I think, you want to be non, what is Tomlin's term? Thoughtfully non-rhythmic.
Thoughtfully non-rhythmic. There you go. A perfect kind of description here. It would be nice if Keith Butler has anything, you know, that he hasn't shown a lot of this year to kind of do it. You know, as far as dropping, you know, certain people into certain. You're not going to play man across. I mean, obviously, it's just not the Steelers' bag. But I would challenge Manning with some two. I would force him to beat more cover two than I would anything else.
You play high safeties.
Yeah, I would play two high safeties with my corners. You know, trying to play some trail. You know, I think, you know, if you play cover three and sit back, he's just gonna.
I don't want to play cover three. I want to play single high safety and play my corners off and then back. I don't want to be sitting back. I want to be bringing heat on him. But like I said, they're going to have to show him every look. He's the best there's ever been at understanding what the other team's doing and constantly kind of being able to respond to it. So it's going to be a fantastic challenge. The fact is he's physically limited. In terms of some of the things he can do. So can he throw the deep out? Can he throw to the far sideline from the, you know, from the near hash marks? So, you know, these are the things we're going to have to see early in the game. And when he came into that San Diego game, I thought his arm strength looked pretty good. Certainly looked better than what I had seen in the three or four games I'd seen him play this year. He was able to make some of those throws. And he also, you know, audibled into the run game and was able to get, you know, gashing holes in the run game. But I would really expect the Steelers to be selling out here early to stop the run. The Steelers couldn't run the ball against Denver in that first game. Obviously, they passed it well. I think it was 17 carries for 26 yards. The Broncos, they weren't great running the ball. I think they had 90-some yards, you know, highlighted by a reverse that Manny Sanders took for 25 or 30 yards. But, you know, both teams are going to try and run the ball, and it's going to be interesting to see if either team can do it.
And the Steelers at times have been great against the run this year. And, boy, the Broncos really and Todd Haley talked about this on Wednesday as well, too, that they'll a lot of times or they did in the last game against the Steelers, they'll leave that base defense sort of a penny look out there against the Steelers and almost daring them to beat their corners one-on-one. And that's why, you know, Todd Haley said that, you know, they really, you know, chose to pass a lot more in that game than they probably probably went into it thinking that they might have because the Broncos were obviously daring them to do it, and Antonio Brown was a key factor in that game, and we talked about how Bryant caught 10 balls in that game as well. Why would you change? And especially when you've got your safeties back here, and Brown being out of this game, and Roethlisberger being beat up on top of it. I think your number one focus, if you're the Broncos, is do not let the Steelers run on you. You want to put the Steelers in obvious passing downs behind the chains as much as possible. You want to come out of the game saying, man, that Roethlisberger is something else. He beat us anyway, and he beat us without Antonio Brown. Tip your hat to him on a cold night where we'll see what the wind is and all like that being a factor. But the Steelers, regardless, I think still have to try to run the football. They have to get these backs, Toussaint and Todman, involved as best they can in the running game. And with Ben kind of being banged up, I think you're going to have to keep the extra protector in there at times too, which could mean that a guy like Keith Miller might not be that involved in the passing game.
As we saw a bit last week. So, okay, this is one of those games where the game plan is relatively straightforward, and we'll see if the coordinators deviate from what we think the right path is, or if something is, there's more exotic stuff to come. But I don't think we're coming up with really great insights here. I think most people who follow these teams and understand what's going on are probably saying a lot of the same things in terms of where they go here. So
You're saying we didn't discover the atom or whatnot?
We did not discover or split the atom today.
But, there you go.
We got the bad news, and now it's just we'll see this afternoon or later this morning if Ben has thrown it all. And with that, I really don't think what we hear today is going to be all that significant for Ben, to be honest with you, because he is going to have 48 more hours and he is going to get a pain injection shot, and so I just we'll see. If he can't throw it all, maybe he can't go. But if he can throw some and get some work in, I just don't think today's going to be a defining day in terms of what we hear about Ben.
I would expect him to be listed as questionable.
Yeah, me too.
And probably limited. I don't know. I mean, does it really matter? Limited being, him being listed limited or full participant. One would think he's probably not going to be a full participant today, right? You probably want to get Landry Jones as much work as possible today, right?
For sure. I think, yeah, Ben's going to be limited today. And I think questionable is the right thing as well. All right, Dave. Well, before we get into the games and go through them all, let's just quickly hit on the four coaching hires named yesterday. I don't know that any were all that surprising. Maybe the one in Philadelphia where they bring back Doug Peterson, who had been Reed's non-play calling coordinator and was he's the offensive coordinator in Kansas City now. Former quarterback, played with Green Bay, was never a guy who saw much time, but was always seen as being a pretty smart guy. I can't say that I know a ton about him, Dave, more than, his background. And all these guys are really incredibly difficult to evaluate because Chip Kelly's the only guy who's got any head coaching experience at this level. So, I mean, you got McAdoo in New York, you got Cutter in Tampa Bay, and you get Chip Kelly in San Francisco. Anyone look like a particularly brilliant hire or a particularly poor hire?
I think McAdoo is probably in the best situation of all those, right?
Got the best quarterback, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess in Tampa, Cutter's got something to work with.
Right, and familiarity is there as well, too. He would probably be number two. Funny, Philadelphia runs Andy Reid out of town only to bring back his protege.
Yeah.
Chip Kelly, look, I good luck there. People know my thoughts on him. Here's the thing, one would think now, I thought it was a foregone conclusion that Colin Kaepernick and that contract of his would be gone.
Yeah.
But now I think he best kind of maybe fits what Chip Kelly has in his head, as what he would like to do. I also think that if you're San Francisco, you think about trying to get RG3 in there as a backup now too, right?
Yeah, depending on the money he wants and what you want to do. Yeah, I mean, sure, you have the conversation, I guess. He might be the starter at the end of the day, right?
Right. I mean, you're bringing him in to compete against Kaepernick. The thing is you're paying Kaepernick all this money. If he doesn't win the starting job, do you cut him and then re-sign him at a lower? I mean, who's going to someone obviously would pick up Colin Kaepernick as a backup somewhere, one would think, if he was indeed cut loose by San Francisco. But I mean, I think Kelly needs to try. Look, I mean, you don't have a quarterback in this league. You're not
I just can't
do
imagine
anything.
Paying Colin Kaepernick $15 million. I just can't. I just, no matter who your coach is, I just can't see it.
Well, if there's any reason why to do it, it would be because Chip Kelly's coming to town.
Yes, I agree with that.
That's the only scenario I think. But man, you got a good back over there in Carlos Hyde, right? I mean, you can work with that. But I mean, what else? I mean, what else do you have over there on either side of the football? I mean, you got some good secondary
members,
I guess.
You got a couple defensive players. Your offensive line's not great. You know, who's playing wide receiver there now? You got,
Can you name the San Francisco 49ers wide receivers or their top,
gone, Crabtree gone, you know, everybody they had gone.
Bolden, how old is he? Bolden had 69 catches in 2015. Smith was their second leading receiver with 33 catches.
Torrey
Smith with 33 catches. Boy, what a down year for him, right?
Ooh. Yeah.
I mean, Bolden and Smith, those are big names 5 years ago, right? On the Ravens.
Heck yeah.
But I mean, let's face it. They're long in the tooth now. Quentin Patton is there. He caught 30 balls, and then McDonald, who's that? Vance McDonald caught 30 balls over there. So one would think that they're going to go out. They got Bruce Ellington over there too, but he only caught 13 footballs this season for him.
The running back, they should be okay, right?
You know, right. Carlos Hyde. I mean, he, as long as he stays healthy. I mean, he did some good things this year. How many balls out of the backfield did Carlos Hyde? 11 catches out of the backfield for 53 yards for them. Defense, though, you know, I think they need to go into this draft and probably get an offensive lineman, assuming they don't have to draft a quarterback, and God knows what direction Chip will go there. But assuming they don't have to draft a quarterback, one would think they need some offensive line help over there. They need a wide receiver, and they need to spend some draft picks on defense. I think they'll be fairly – one would think that they'd be fairly active in free agency coming up as well, too. And we'll see what happens with the Chip Kelly garage sale whenever that takes place.
Tough division, too, man. That's stepping into a bear in that division. All right, let's talk about Jason Whitlock and what he had to say about Mike Tomlin. For those who didn't hear it, Whitlock was on the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio. I guess it was on Wednesday now. And basically said Mike Tomlin's one of the most coddled coaches in the history of sports. And his coaches are out of control. His team's out of control. And he basically gets a pass because he's black.
Ludicrous.
And for those who don't know, Jason Whitlock is black as well.
Ludicrous. Absolutely. Jason Whitlock doesn't get on Twitter much following Steelers fans or listen to the terrible podcast, does he? Or listen to press conferences.
I mean, that's pretty much what I said. I mean, I just, he gets criticized, and I've said all along, and I think you view it the same way. We take this seriously. This is kind of how we earn our living. I'm not out to get clickbait, and I'm not out to be hyperbolic in terms of the opinions that I have. They're hopefully reasonably well thought out, and I think Tomlin's the right guy for the team. I think he's a great leader. Plenty of people have heard me address the things I think he doesn't do well. But, you know, to think he gets a pass, I don't know. Maybe Whitlock only hears about the national media, and the national media is less critical than the local media. But I don't see it. So.
No, I don't either. And I mean, look, it's ludicrous. And the thing about Jason Whitlock, for a little background, he was really kind of a would you call him a syndicated columnist during his time in Kansas City, or just a columnist? I guess just a columnist more than anything, all those years he spent in Kansas City. To be quite honest now, Jason Whitlock is a basement blogger, right?
Yeah, I don't know. He's had a couple different runs. And what, look, Jerry Dulac was on my show, and I thought he said something that was very appropriate when commenting about Whitlock. He said he doesn't like the way Whitlock delivers his message oftentimes, and often he's a blowhard. But he also raises issues that other people won't raise. He'll talk about important topics. One of the things I've said all along, look, if you're a member of a minority, whether it be an ethnic group or a race or whatever it is, sometimes you can say things that other people won't say for fear of being branded racist or something along those lines. So I do think Jason Whitlock does at times add to the conversation, the dialogue in a bigger picture for our society by raising some of these issues. I just think he's off base here.
What would happen if you wrote something or said something like that, David?
Well, you know,
on your show.
Well, let me put it this way. I'd hope I have the journalistic credibility that people would take me seriously, but I'm sure people who don't know me would immediately just go with, the racist thing. And you know, that's just kind of how our society reacts. I mean, I disagreed with it, and I had a guy who I think was African-American call my show yesterday, and he disagreed with me. He thought that was absolutely true, and I've seen some other people kind of agree with what Whitlock said. So it's not not everybody thinks he's wrong.
I think we spent enough time on that.
All right,
I hate talking about things like that, but unfortunately we have to write and talk about those things when they do surface.
Yeah, I think Mike, look, we can talk about whether Mike's arrogant, whether Mike should answer the questions at the press conference, all of those things that, I sit there and ask questions. I'm not doing it to hear myself talk. I'm doing it because either A, I want to know the answer, or B, I know that other people want to know the answer. And, you know, when Mike doesn't give me an answer on whether you can lead with the crown of the helmet or do some other things, does it matter to me whether Mike likes me or doesn't like me? No, I don't. It's not important to me. But I think it comes off maybe not great for him to the fan base when, he doesn't want to talk about the Bengal game at all. He doesn't want to talk about Joey being on the field. And, I think the fans want to, hear from the head coach. They don't get to hear from him often, and they'd like to hear him, answer some of these things. And when he just takes a complete pass, that's sometimes disappointing.
Yeah, I agree. And as we came up with some great questions, for you, maybe some future questions for Tomlin in the podcast. I understand him wanting to kind of cut out all of the distractions right now, especially when it comes to Porter and the hits and things that didn't happen in the Cincinnati game.
But I think, as
we said in the last podcast, I thought the question was fine. Just tell us what made that hit legal or not legal. That's all we want to know. So I want to circle back real quick. We didn't discuss Hugh Jackson being hired by the Cleveland Browns. That's more pertinent to the Steelers than any of them, obviously. Good hire, bad hire, great hire?
I think, again, who are we to judge these hires? But I'll go good hire because Hugh Jackson has a very good understanding of the Browns roster. He has a very good understanding of the division. Obviously, he's the guy who's going to, maybe gets Josh Gordon back in the fold in a month, which would be a huge boon to that roster and what they might be capable of doing offensively. Everybody who talks about him, former players, has good things to say about him. And he did some good things with Andy Dalton in that Bengals offense. So I certainly couldn't say bad hire. I'll say good to excellent.
I would say good to excellent as well, too. A brilliant offensive mind, David Jason Whitlock, just posted on Twitter because he retweeted something, the ESPN news that Antonio Brown has ruled out for the AFC playoff game with a concussion. On top of that, he tagged, "Wonder if Tomlin still thinks game represented what AFC North football is about, equal sign, injuring each other with cheap shots." Boy, he's really trying to chum up the waters, isn't he?
Yeah, well, I don't know how that's on Mike. Like, look, coaches say things after the game that are you know, it was a physical football game. You know, Reggie Nelson got hurt because a guy stepped on his own ankle. I know there were a bunch of other Bengals who went out in that game with injury, but I can't recall one where one was directly caused by a Steeler player, fair tackle. Yeah, of course, Gio Bernard, hit by Ryan Shazier. And to this point, it doesn't look like the NFL has fined Shazier, which tells you at least what the league to this point thinks about the hit. So, yeah, I guess that is – was there any more from the Bengals side where it was caused by a Steeler player, Dave, that jumped to mind?
Well, you know, the hit by Williams on Wheaton, right, is one we kind of discussed. But, I mean, it didn't knock him out of the game or anything.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, Bengal players who got knocked out by Steeler hits.
No. Back to Hugh Jackson. If you're the Bengals right now, do you try to trade for A.J. McCarron or Andy Dalton?
If you're the Browns?
I mean, if you're Browns.
No. I mean, you're not going to get Dalton, so that's a pipe dream. McCown's still under contract, right?
Did I say McCown or McCarron?
No, well, McCown is under contract, right? He has another year left. I think he signed a 3-year deal with the Browns. So I think he's coming back. You know, you're not going to get Dalton, so that's not going to happen. I wouldn't go be making A.J. McCarron my quarterback of the future.
If you could get a first-round pick for him, would you? For McCarron?
If the Bengals, I'd do it in a second. If I'm the Browns, there's no chance in no chance in heck I'm giving up a first-round pick for A.J. McCarron.
Do you think A.J. McCarron has a possibility to be a winning quarterback in the league?
I like A.J. McCarron a little bit, but I would love to have A.J. McCarron be my backup. I think A.J. McCarron's career will never be a guy who is seen as being the franchise quarterback. He may get an opportunity because somebody gets hurt, and that may have him fall into a job at some point. I think he could be a quarterback in the league, but I don't ever think he'd be a top 15 quarterback in the league, so I don't want to tie my franchise to him.
We both admit he played a lot better than what we thought he was going to play this year, right?
Well, certainly in that first Steelers game, he was okay in some of the other stuff I saw, and then I thought he was just okay. He was terrible in the first half of that game. Saturday night, he was better when it mattered late. He made some plays. So, yeah, I don't think it's hopeless. I mean, let me just ask you this. Would you trade A.J. McCarron straight up for Landry Jones?
Would I trade Landry Jones for A.J. McCarron then?
Yeah, who would you take is my question, I guess.
I'd probably take McCarron.
I think I'd probably take McCarron right now too.
I think I probably would. That's a great question for our listeners. TheTerriblePodcast@gmail.com. Would you trade Landry Jones straight up for A.J. McCarron? Yeah, we live in fantasy world, but who doesn't? Let's get some feedback from some of the listeners on that. He played better than what I thought he was going to play, and I think he has the makings to be a starting quarterback in his league. Let me ask you this. Do the Browns, with the number 2 overall pick, are you going quarterback there?
Probably. Probably going quarterback because obviously Tennessee, if they stay in that spot, they're not going quarterback. So you have your choice of anybody on the board. So I'm probably going quarterback.
Are you starting them year one or are you sitting them behind McCown?
If McCown's healthy obviously it depends who it is and where they think, if it's Jared Goff, how far along they think he is, but whether, you know, it's 6 games or 10 games, you know, we've seen different, you know, thoughts. I mean, obviously the two guys last year stepped right in and played and got better as the season went on and had pretty good years. Bortles wasn't supposed to play at all, and he played his first year. Bridgewater played a fair bit of his first year. I mean, it's become a common trend. You're obviously tossing the season away, but I'm not sure the Browns are really tossing anything away next year. So, yeah, you're going to make sure he gets some playing time. Does he have to start week one? No.
And we both agree Johnny Manziel is out of Cleveland.
Yes.
I agree. Does Josh Gordon make it back?
I hope so. I hope for all guys that they, you know, the kid, unfortunately, the kid from Oklahoma State had another incident and looks like
he's gone.
He's never going to get done. Tell me his name again. I'm drawing it.
Justin Blackman.
Justin Blackman, right. Unfortunately, it looks like he's done. You know, the good thing is we haven't heard anything about Josh Gordon, and I'll assume that's better than worse. So I hope for his sake he does. He's living life with a one strike opportunity left as far as having a professional football career. So I'll keep my fingers crossed for him. He's a hell of a player.
Boy, he was. Boy, he torched the Steelers in a couple of games. 2000, when was that? 14, 13? I forget, years running together. But he had a couple of solid games against the Steelers, and Ike Taylor in particular, back before he got suspended there. Okay, enough with Browns Depot now. We've covered 49ers Depot, Browns Depot. I guess we should sort of kind of circle back to our final thoughts on the game and get into the playoff games this week, right?
Yes, let's take them by the how they come on the calendar. I think, you know, Kansas City, New England is a really – look, I think two of these games are fascinating. One's not particularly fascinating, and then you got the Steelers-Denver game. Which is impacted by these injuries. But I think Kansas City, New England is a pretty interesting game, Dave. I haven't seen the latest injury report, but it looks like New England's going to have most of their guys back. They've had some weird stories going on up there this week with Chandler Jones and the synthetic marijuana and then Gronk missing practice for a day. But it looks like Edelman and maybe Vollmer are back. They're going to come into this game at least as healthy as they've been in the last 8 months or 8 weeks or so. But I just, you know, Kansas City just keeps – doing things well, and people point to the fact that they haven't beaten anybody in this 11-game winning streak. They've played a bunch of backup quarterbacks when they played good teams. So a lot of people aren't buying that Kansas City can be competitive here. Kansas City blew New England out, didn't they, the last time they played? Was it last year? I think this is going to be a competitive game. I don't think New England is going to blow them out here, and the weather's not supposed to be good either.
Yeah, as long as Alex Smith plays like Alex Smith and that defense continues to be kind of opportunistic, and you're right, Kansas City gave Tom Brady fits. Was it last season? It seemed like it was last season.
I think it was last season.
That they gave Tom Brady fits. Gronk and the questions about his knee. They should have Edelman back, right? In this game, but I mean, obviously hasn't played in a few weeks there. Kansas City's got a good secondary. They've got a good front seven there. I think they're going to be able to do some good things against the run there. I think, what are you showing on the line of this? 4.5
five.
Or five?
Five.
I think that's going to be the key here. I think New England wins this game, David, but I think Kansas City covers. Do you have New England winning this too?
I'll go exactly the same way. I think I'll take the 5 points here, and I'm going to be sitting in front of a television watching this one intently because Kansas City has impressed me. Alex Smith is playing much better football than people generally give him credit for. They've been able to run the ball without Jamaal Charles. If they're able to kind of confuse that offensive line a little bit and get after Tom Brady, look out. So we'll see how much the weather impacts things. But I'm with you, and as we say all the time, a line of five in Vegas means they really don't know where to go with this thing because that's the odd number that they get out there. The game that I think will be the least interesting is then the late game Saturday night, Arizona-Green Bay, and Green Bay looked like a whole different team the last three quarters or two and a half quarters against Washington. It's a Washington team that really didn't beat anybody all year. They had the easiest road into the playoffs. Credit to them because nobody expected them to be any good to begin with. They got a lead. DeSean Jackson screwed up on the touchdown. So instead of it being whatever it could have been, you know, four more points, they didn't put up on the board. And from there, it imploded. And Kirk Cousins wasn't good. The defense couldn't stop anybody. Aaron Rodgers got it going after looking bad early in the game. Started finding his guys. Eddie Lacy looked good. But I think that was just a nice little treat for Packer fans to think about in the offseason. I think Arizona blows them out.
I am with you, and we're showing 7 on this, if I'm correct here, with Arizona favored by 7. They're at home. You got a Green Bay team that really not great at times this year. And great quarterback aside, Arizona's got a pretty decent one on the other side of football and a brilliant offensive mind in Bruce Arians. They're rested. You got a guy like David Johnson that can run the football for you. I just think they're going to explosive play this Packers defense. And I think if they get the foot down on the necks in a hurry in this one and force the Packers to kind of abandon anything that they want to try to do on the ground, I think this one can get away just as it did between these two teams earlier in the year, right?
Yeah, they blew them out, right?
Yeah, I don't see how this one is close at all. Give me Arizona to cover at home, cover that 7 in a blowout.
All right, so takes us to Sunday early game, and a game that I'm sure football fans are licking their chops to watch this one, as Seattle sneaks in after having a good second half of the season, but a loss to the Rams in Week 16. A blowout win over the Cardinals in Week 17, and then they go to Minnesota where they had blown them out just a month before, and I think everybody, you know, us included, expected more of the same, and Minnesota should have won that game. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. They didn't, so Seattle gets a reprieve. They go to Carolina, and as good as Carolina's been all year with only one loss and the best record in the NFL and the presumptive MVP in Cam Newton, I still don't think the world believes in Carolina when they're playing a proven Seattle team. So that's why I think you see people on both sides of the fence here. What are you showing for the latest line, Dave? Seattle by
1.5.
Okay.
Carolina 1.5.
Carolina by 1.5. Okay. Dave, I'm against my, against the way I'm taking Carolina and the fact that Seattle didn't take care of business against the Rams, I want to call them the Los Angeles Rams, in Week 16, and the fact that they had struggled as much as they did offensively against Minnesota, and I know the weather obviously was a huge factor in that. They're going to have Marshawn Lynch back. That helps. But I just think this Carolina defense is better than most people realize. Luke Kuechly's unbelievably good, and I think they'll do enough to keep this game close, and I'll take Carolina 23-21, covering the 1.5 by half a point.
Carolina has a fantastic defense. On top of it, the Panthers' offense, surprisingly good this year with the wide receivers. I mean, let's say I'll have to go back and look at my predictions, but I don't think I had Carolina winning 5 or 6 games this year, especially after losing Kelvin Benjamin early on in the season. They've got a great tight end in Greg Olsen. Their offensive line has played a lot better than anybody I think imagined would this year. With that being said, and I like Carolina a lot, I've talked about that defense a lot this year, that Seattle defense is not bad either. And I think when you talk about playoff football and you talk about the secondaries of these two teams, and Carolina's got a good secondary as well too, I think if you look at the corner safety matchups on both teams versus each other's, what they have on the opposite side there, I really like Seattle's secondary a little bit more in this game. And then throw in the fact here that Seattle's got experience on their side. Throw in the fact that when, you know, even though Carolina had to buy, maybe a buy is maybe not such a good thing at times here. A little bit of inexperience, a lot of inexperience on Carolina's side. I think the downfall to Carolina in this game, David, I think is at the wide receiver position more than anything else. I think that's the difference in this ball game. I cannot wait to see this ball game. I think it's going to be the best one of the four. But I like Seattle's come on strong lately. They really, really have. I like Seattle to win this by a field goal, and thus I'm taking the 1.5 points.
All right. Well, Dave, then it takes us down to Sunday and Sunday evening. And look, this is a game where the Steelers, we're going to just make the assumption here that they're obviously going to be without Antonio Brown. They're most likely without D'Angelo Williams. You got to take some comfort in what Fitzgerald Toussaint and Jordan Todman did last week, but you're down to basically your third and your fourth running backs. Sammy Coates is going to get an opportunity in this one. Martavis Bryant is going to have to step up. The Steelers offensive line is going to have to play great against a Denver, you know, pass rush, edge rushing guys who are as good as they get. Von Miller's a huge stud. On the defensive side, the Steelers are going to get a challenge. They're going to have to figure a way to cover Manny Sanders better than they did in that first half. Demaryius Thomas is a beast. You know, Owen Daniels is an older guy. Hopefully they're figuring some of the things out. They've seen him in the past. They're going to have to get pressure on Peyton Manning. That's a lot of things the Steelers are going to have to do. And they're somehow going to have to find a way, I think, to score 21 points. Dave, I really want to pick the Steelers because it's going to look really smart if they go out there and win. But logically, with the even if AB was gone, if Ben were 100% without AB, I still might pick the Steelers. But because Ben is not going to be 100%, it's really hard for me to pick the Steelers. So as much as it pains me, I got the Broncos 20-16 in this one.
Are we showing this thing coming back on the board at about 7 right now?
Yeah, so I got the Steelers covered.
Look, Keith Butler talked all season about his magic number of being 17. In order for the Steelers to win this football game, they're going to have to keep the Broncos' offense under 17, I really think. That's going to be a very, very tough chore, in my opinion. We talked earlier about how better pray for cold and Manning in bad weather. I think it goes without saying that it's obvious the Steelers can't turn the football over in this game and give Peyton Manning a short field. They're going to need their defense. If they're going to win this game, I think we're going to be talking about the Steelers' defense quite a bit in this game, because I'm not convinced that the Steelers' offense is going to have much, if any, success on the ground. And then that means they're going to have to do it through the air. And you've got a really, really, a really good secondary over there. You've got people that can get after the quarterback. And their outside linebackers over there as well, too. Malik Jackson clogging up that middle. Everything tells you logic is that Denver's going to win this game, and I can't go against that with this one either. I'm with you. I don't think Denver, you know, blows the Steelers out in this one, but I have to give this one to Denver 24-17, right at the line. So I better pick a side on this. I will go, give me Denver 23-17, so I can have those 7 points of Steelers. So I think the Steelers cover. I think Denver wins out right here. Let me ask you this: if the Steelers win, how what does this say about this team? What does it say about Mike Tomlin? Where would this game rank?
It makes the season a smashing success if the Steelers get to the AFC Championship game under these circumstances. You'd have to think, I was wrong. We were wrong about D'Angelo Williams. We thought he'd be back this week. You'd have to think there's a decent chance that you get Ben and D'Angelo back if they play next week, and they go into that. You know, Ben would be a week healthier, so you've got some things pointing up if they can get through this game, and it would be, the narrative is going to be that Ben gutted it out and had a really good game, and the defense was able to shut down a. Whatever Peyton Manning, whatever adjective turns out of this game, they either do it through turnovers or do it through pressure or do it because he wasn't physically able. But this is not a game where the Steelers have no chance. I'm not going into this kind of hopeless, but this is a game where it is Ben Roethlisberger and it is Peyton Manning. And more than any game we've seen that I can remember in forever, Dave, it's just going to be fascinating to watch how these quarterbacks go out and play on Sunday.
It's not, as I like to use the word, impossible. but we're not rocket surgeons here either. I mean, you look at the injury report, you look at what this offense struggled the last several weeks anyway, with a healthy Antonio Brown and a seemingly healthy Ben Roethlisberger. It's definitely going to be tough. Denver's going to have to turn the football over and provide the Steelers some short fields. The Steelers are going to have to be amazing on third downs in this game. And as we said, the defense is just going to have to keep the Broncos out of the end zone. I just think that's too tough of a task here. So hopefully, everybody, we are wrong. Don't go jumping out of your window. Make sure you tune into the game at 4:40 on Sunday on CBS, because I think it will. I don't think it'll be over quicker than probably many people think.
All right, I'll be on. By the way, I'll be on the pregame show on DVE, and that'll be, I think, 12:30 to 2:40 on Sunday. And you can obviously hear me this afternoon, 4 to 7. So that's all I got.
I guess we should start wrapping it up here. As always, people can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Send us your thoughts. Tell us how crazy we are about our predictions. Tell us, the other question that we threw out to you earlier about Landry Jones for AJ McCarron as well, too. It'd be interesting to see some of those responses. You can do so, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. David, continue to get a few more donations here. Frank Carl, thank you for your donation. Philip Brennerman, thank you for your donation. Rosemary Thinking. You people do this to let me mispronounce your name here. Rosemary Finkenbinder. I hope I said that right, Rosemary. Thank you for the donation to the podcast there. If you want to do so, go to SteelersDepot.com. The donate button's up there in the top right. David, who knows? Who knows? Maybe we're talking about the Steelers playing in the AFC Championship game on Monday.
That'd be a lot of fun. As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.